Red Line.
The Netherlands' April 5th referendum on the association agreement with Ukraine came as a bitter pill to the pro-EU government in Kyiv, as the majority of the voters in the country, which currently holds the bloc's presidency, unequivocally said no. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. An article entitled Dutch Vote and EU-Ukraine Deal Could Send Ripples Through Europe, carried by the Wall Street Journal and written by Martin van Tartwijk, the author remarks about the agreement in question, saying that the pact, provisionally applied by Brussels since mid-2014, removes export tariffs between Ukraine and the EU and has provided a boost to the fragile Ukrainian economy at a time when trade with Russia has plummeted. It was at the heart of Ukraine's political crisis in 2014, prompting violent clashes and the ouster of former President Viktor Yanukovych. He also observed that the Dutch referendum is the first under a new domestic law that allows citizens to call for a non-binding vote on some legislation and treaties that have already been passed by Parliament. It was triggered by online petitions started by Eurosceptic activists and an anti-establishment blog that argued that voters should have more influence in EU decisions. He then goes on to write that the Ukraine pact was targeted because it was one of the first pieces of legislation available on which to stage a referendum, said Thierry Baudet, a 33-year-old publicist and one of the vote's initiators. The agreement with Ukraine is a symptom of everything that is wrong with the EU, he said.
EU or no EU, to be or not to be. That's more almost Shakespearean question which media and political pundits are trying to answer these days as the world is trying to unwrap the riddle of the results of the referendum in Netherlands. You were quoting one of the thought-provoking publications of the week, but we were flooded with the reports. And if we just see what is said now, we are avoiding theories, we are avoiding explanations. But the basic thing is how to interpret that. So one group of experts are saying that that was the vote against the agreement between association agreement between Ukraine and EU. Others are arguing that that was not against Ukraine association agreement, but that was mostly the mood of Eurosceptics who, by voting no, just snubbed bureaucracy in Brussels. I think there's not a dilemma as such. It was both. First point, of course, that was a bitter pill to those rosy expectations in Ukraine that EU is a land of milk and honey and they are welcome there. So this is not the case anymore. And the second thing is that obviously that showed that something wrong, fundamentally wrong, is with the very idea of pan-European home.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that this was a blended reaction to both, you know, being against Ukraine and the EU and also against the EU establishment. But we have a very dignified guest in the studio to discuss this with us. That's Mr. Andrei Fyodorov. He's Russia's former deputy foreign minister and director of the Center for Political Studies think tank here in Moscow. So, you know, Sergei posed this existential question, if you will. I mean, was this against the EU? Was this against Ukraine? Was it a blend? I mean, what's your professional interpretation of the results?
My vision of this referendum is that Europe, European Union, doesn't want to include and to develop cooperation with Ukraine until Ukraine is remaining a falling state. So it means that it's not a barrier for EU to contact Ukraine, this referendum, etc., etc. But there's a very clear signal to Kyiv that if you will not change inside Ukraine, if you will not change maybe the government, if you will not change the president, if you will not accept the rules of the game of the European Union, this referendum could be repeated in one or another way in the different countries. And your way to Europe will be simply blocked. And the main question today, what Brussels will do. Brussels can compensate the negative results for this referendum by solving the issue of visa-free entrance. But it's also a very sophisticated issue. It can be solved by the Brussels, but it not will be welcomed by many people in many countries who are afraid of this cords of Ukrainians coming to Europe, and everyone understand that these people will try to accept any Dutch job without any legal guarantees, etc., etc. The people are afraid from this point of view. They're not afraid of expansion of Ukrainian goods, for example.
Yeah.
No one except.
Like in Poland,
they're very afraid
of this.
Yeah, it's a problem. The problem is that the current state of Ukraine could create a new humanitarian problem for Europe. That's why this is so. The other important element for me from this referendum, that it will definitely influence on the greatest supporter of Ukraine, Germany. After this referendum, there is a very serious possibility that inside Germany, there will be much more stronger political voices to cut off assistance to Ukraine. Because it's very strong criticism in Germany that we are spending so much money. No one in Europe is spending so much money for Ukraine, and the result is zero. And small Netherlands understood it's much better than Germany. So I think it will be a kind of snowball effect for the future, not now, but for the coming months, maybe on the current meeting, on the coming meetings of EU in April and May. And this will influence definitely on Ukrainian policy. Inside Ukraine, this referendum is giving a good chance, mainly for Yulia Tymoshenko, as well for the radical forces, to call on for early elections, both for Verkhovna Rada and president. And of course, the situation is favorable for Russia, because it's not Russia, but it's Europe who showed red light. So this is very, very interesting thing that, from the formal point of view, this referendum was absolutely without interference from Russian side, except, of course, I would like to say openly, Russian media played a certain role in Russia and in Europe and in Ukraine. But I think this referendum is the beginning of very serious changes inside Ukraine, much more maybe than in Europe.
Okay, thank you very much for that insight. It really kind of helps to explain everything that's transpired and what might unfold in the future.
I think that the Dutch, they drawn a red line for Ukrainians by vote no.
Yeah, I think that this was I don't necessarily want to say a tripwire, but I think like our guest Mr. Fyodorov said, this could have got the snowball rolling. And now it's putting pressure on Poroshenko. The Germans may switch their position, and we also see the important influence of alternative media in shifting the debate inside the Netherlands.
Absolutely.
Which cannot be discounted.
In fact, that was not only the debate inside the European Union, not only in Netherlands. We were also debating here, trying to unwrap the riddle of the results of the referendum. So earlier this week, Sputnik has taken interview with Mr. Jan van Bethem, foreign commentator with the Netherlands Dagblad, the Netherlands Daily. And here is what he said.
Red line.
You know, there's a kind of stipulation here that a referendum, which is an advisory referendum, it's not a binding referendum, but an advisory referendum is valid if it has a threshold of 30% of the population. Well, that is being discussed now, because if you look at the results, almost two-thirds of the voters who turned up were against the association treaty between the EU and Ukraine. But only a third of the voters turned up. So 20% of the voters said no, and 10% said yes, and 70%, we don't know. There was a strong discussion on this referendum because the referendum was held or was initiated as a referendum on the association treaty. But just a little short of a week before the referendum was held, there was an interview with the chairman of the Citizens Committee, EU, that is a Eurosceptic Citizens Committee, and its chairman is Arjan van Dixhoorn. He's an historian. And he said in the interview, Ukraine cannot care us anything, of course. You must understand. We couldn't hold an exit referendum till now. An exit referendum would be about the Netherlands going out of the European Union. Therefore, he says, we grab all possibilities to lay a strain on the relation between the Netherlands and the EU. This is as literal as I can translate it from Dutch. So the goal of the referendum was to strain the relations between the Netherlands and the EU, and so start a discussion about getting out of the EU.
Well, would you say that he succeeded?
He quite succeeded, because after this referendum, you see the reactions. In fact, the government doesn't know what to do now. Because you can discuss about amending the association treaty. You can change it. You can try another kind of association treaty. But it was in reality not about the association treaty, because Ukraine doesn't care them and anything. They don't care about Ukraine. So whatever you discuss, whatever you renegotiate, they will not be satisfied. This is the start of maybe even towards a new referendum after you have had in June the referendum on the possible Brexit, the next one in the Netherlands might be about a possible Nexit from the European Union. That is not an impossible thought. Indeed, it is a very realistic, it's becoming a realistic thought.
Well, absolutely. But with that said, if people don't have jobs and if all of a sudden they're asked to support other countries such as, I don't know, Greece or maybe some of the Eastern mm-hmm. European countries, and they say, well, wait a minute, you know, we're working, we're supposed to be doing what, you know, we're doing what was asked of us, and yet these people over here have completely different rules, and we're asked to subsidize them and their lifestyle. I mean, that doesn't seem fair at all.
No, and all the frustration about, for instance, how the economic crisis was dealt with, the austerity measures which were taken in Europe, which have affected young people very deeply, also here in the Netherlands, huh? You have now a generation who will have will not have a better future than their parents. This is the first time we have experienced this after the Second World War. So this frustration has never been, they could not yet really utter this frustration till this referendum. And Ukraine was only a vehicle to express the frustration with the ongoing politics, as well as in The Hague, as well as in Brussels. So not only The Hague has a problem, not only Brussels has a problem, we have a problem here in society that we have a deep rift between the ruling elite, the ruling politicians, and bankers, etc., and a significant part of our population who does not trust the political leadership anymore. Not at all.
Would you say that the same feeling is endemic in other countries inside of Europe as well?
The University of Bielefeld in Germany has made a study of this, and they have found that in practically every Western European country, there is 15 to 22% of the population who have a deep distrust in the political leadership and the social economic leadership and the social economic organizations. So this is not only in the Netherlands, this is across Europe. You see it in France, you see it in Belgium, you've seen it in Finland, in Sweden. So everywhere this pops up, you see it now also in Germany, where a new party like Alternative für Deutschland, Alternatives for Germany, have a very strong showing in regional elections. And this is a problem which is not only affecting the Netherlands. This referendum in the Netherlands is a token of this unrest amongst, one-fifth of our citizens. And that is exactly the number of people who turned up to vote no against the association treaty here in the Netherlands, about 20% of the population.
That was an interview with Jan van Bentham, foreign affairs commentator at the Netherlands Dagblad, also known as the Netherlands Daily. So right now we're going to switch over to another Dutch guest, and that's Ms. Annika de Laaf. She's a Dutch political activist and editor at NovaGazeta.nl.
Red Line.
Okay, so Annika, how much of a factor do you think alternative media campaigns played in affecting the outcome of the vote? Because, you know, as we know, the establishment was in favor of this agreement, but many grassroots organizations were not.
Well, actually, without the alternative media, there would have been no referendum at all. The initiators behind the referendum, which is the Forum for Democracy and investigative journalists of the 9to5 website, they quickly realized that if they were to organize this referendum request on their own and rely on the mainstream media, it wouldn't go anywhere. And so this is why they decided to contact the maverick journalist of the No Style website and got the initiative going. And they managed to get enough votes to force the government to grant us this referendum. Also, when you look at the campaign, it's clear that the grassroots organizations were able to quite effectively use Facebook. There were many, many Facebook groups in which this issue was discussed, and a lot of facts were put forward, which we don't usually see on mainstream media. But I also think that the way that the establishment approached the whole affair, the way that they tried to scare us into saying yes, you know, I'm referring not only to our own Prime Minister Rutte, but also to Mr. Juncker of the EU and Mr. Poroshenko, who said that no matter what you vote, we'll go ahead anyways. This didn't help. and caused a lot of resentment in amongst people. So I think this may have also influenced the way people voted.
Okay, yeah, it's very interesting. And as we know, the Netherlands holds the rotating EU presidency right now. So the results are a lot more symbolically significant than if the referendum were held outside this context, although they'd still be important either way, of course. So do you think that the results will have some kind of demonstration effect elsewhere in the EU, or will this just be an isolated occurrence?
Personally, I don't expect other referenda on this issue. First of all, because not all EU countries have legislation which permits referenda. So that would be an obstacle. I do think it may have a slight effect on the Brexit referendum, which is coming up in June, I believe, in the UK, because people may be emboldened and see that it can be done. But I don't think, in Germany or in Belgium, they will follow us and organize a referendum. Our reputation has been tarnished, which is clear when you look at the media and how people react. And you can see today that our political elite hurries to reassure their partners that things will turn out okay. For example, our foreign minister Bert Koenders told EU MPs who were visiting The Hague that they will find a solution, by which, of course, he means that somehow they will preserve the association agreement.
Okay, well, Annika, thank you very much for explaining all this. And, that being said, we're going to thank all the guests for participating in this very interesting and thought-provoking discussion, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Andrei Fyodorov. He's Russia's former deputy foreign minister and director of the Center for Political Studies think tank here in Moscow. Ms. Annika Delaf, Dutch political activist and editor at NovaGazeta.nl. And Mr. Jan van Bentham, foreign commentator at the Netherlands Dagblad, or also the Netherlands Daily. Following in our program, we have Ted Cruz in Wisconsin. Say cheese. Stay with us.